Hello, everybody. Thanks for asking me to speak tonight. I'm kind of disappointed. These candles could go around the room many, many times, and this place should be filled. So what is going on? These are the conversations we need to be having. Many may know me, but for those who don't, my partner Nick Orth and I started Friends of Dorothy House in 1992 when there was still no place for people to go that were dying of AIDS. 24 years ago, wow, what a journey it's been. We never imagined we would still be going all these years later. We have always had to adapt and change the disease and needs changed. When we started, we pretty much knew our guests were going to die. Then, with each new medication, people responded. And it went from people dying to the hope of maybe getting well enough till the next advancement arrived. We went from hospice care to also including restorative care, emergency shelter, teaching people how to take their meds, and often moving on to a chance at a new life or to return to the life they once had and thought was lost. We have come a long way from people being diagnosed and gone 6 months later. Many people think it is over, but it is not. The compounded issues that keep people from taking their medications, like mental health, addiction, and extreme poverty, often keep people from taking their medications consistently enough for them to work. Many of us that have been in the trenches for many years know that we have come a long way, a very long way, in the progress in treatment and stigma surrounding those infected and affected. But still, there is much work to do. It will be very interesting to see how this new administration responds and promotes health in general, let alone around HIV and AIDS. Many of us remember the early days of fear, stigma, and all the struggles that went along with HIV and AIDS. And we will not go back to those days. The days when people were made to eat off of paper plates, silverware thrown out, food left on the floor outside the door of a patient in the hospital. We know who that was, Wendy Alexis Modesty. People not wanting to rent or employ people who were infected or living with people infected. I remember one mother wanting to hide her son's illness for fear she might lose her job. Many parents found out their child was gay and infected at the same time, all too often to turn their backs. But for those that didn't turn their backs, those that had the courage and love and embraced not only their child, but the cause and need for all people infected and affected to be treated with compassion and dignity, I thank you. So many ways that oppression and injustice was manifested. We could all share many stories of those experiences. Yes, we have come a long way, and yes, we still have work to do. I think back at the amazing and heroic activism that brought us here. The battle with the FDA and getting drugs approved, ACT UP and many small affinity groups working to educate and battle for the rights and dignity of our people. Where are folks now, though? Look at this room. Why do my white gay brothers not fight for our sisters of color who are dying often at the same rate we were in the 90s? I watched the documentary Wilhelmina's War. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. It's about a family struggle with AIDS in the rural South. In South Carolina, AIDS is the leading cause of death among young black women ages 16 to 24. It reminds me of the days before effective treatment, when so many gay men were dying. Only in this case, women are dying because of racism, poverty, lack of access, and the indifference of local government. Why does this sound so familiar? And why are we not fighting for them? No, this is not over. I hear from some that have been or were in the trenches that they are tired, burnt out, or relieved that those around them are doing well and don't want to fight anymore. But the fact is, the people that are still in need are not familiar or connected in some way to them, or the same class or color as they are. It no longer is in their face. I am not blaming them, and I do understand. But the need for our activism is still necessary. Yes, we have come a long way, but why have we left some behind? Our trans community and people of color are still too often left behind, not only around the issues of HIV and AIDS, but in many of the areas that might lead to infection: education, equal pay, jobs and opportunities for a good life. We must connect the dots. When one is hurting or oppressed, we all are in some way, whether we realize it or not, whether in body, mind, or spirit. Wake up to the fact that in spite of all the progress, this is not over. Yes, many are doing well, and for them, I am relieved and happy. People have the opportunity to live long, happy, and healthy lives, but not all have that same opportunity. Fortunately, for those living in some states like New York, there is amazing opportunity, but the struggle continues for too many in our country and around the world. Yes, we have come a long way, but the battles continue. Let us work against the sins of racism, classism, sexism, homophobia, ageism, transphobia, and violence here and around the world. The money spent on empire, war, and dominance and holding on to power could be used for life-giving experiences and justice. Let us work for social justice, peace, and the understanding that love is the answer to many of our problems. With love and compassion, we can make change. We have experienced and lived through what love can change. We know as well as anyone from our long history or her story, in dealing with this often cruel disease, that it was through love that the worst of it seemed to have been conquered. But we still have work to do in so many places, beginning with our own hearts and lives, to our community and around the world. Thank you for hearing me. Now I ask you to be educated, to act, to organize, and continue this journey, this fight that has brought us together here in Syracuse, New York, tonight. Thank you.